As was mentioned, we'll be looking at the book of Habakkuk. And maybe I'll even just start off. I don't know how you've heard it pronounced. Habakkuk. I'll say Habakkuk. And if you find out that's incorrect, that's fine. I've been wrong before. It's a minor prophet. And I will say an old friend of mine. I'll go back to my seminary days, which goes back a while, where we did a study of this short little minor prophet. But since then, it's, I would say, a minor prophet with a major message. And so we'll be looking, and perhaps you've heard of Habakkuk because of, I mean, pretty much everybody has heard Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The Apostle Paul quotes from Habakkuk twice, once in Romans, once in Galatians, also the author of Hebrews. And also it's really a theme throughout the New Testament. And so perhaps you've heard of Habakkuk, but maybe not spent much time there. And so we'll look a little bit at what brought this little book to that very well-known statement. I'll spare you some of the dramatic reading, not all of it perhaps, but if you were to go into the languages, you would find that most of the first part of Habakkuk is written with strong intensives. All right? So really, and it's a dialogue, you need to realize that. In chapter 1, the first four verses are from the prophet Habakkuk. The reply in verses 5 through 11 is from the Lord. Then we go back to Habakkuk in verses 12 through 2:1, and then the Lord replies again. So we have a little bit of a dialogue going on. And you have to, and that's part of what you have to catch as we come up to that famous verse in Habakkuk 2:4. And you have to see how the prophet is almost transformed through this dialogue. Because he does. He starts off extremely forceful. And you could almost just put exclamation points behind every little phrase that he utters in these first four verses. And then note how his temper and his mood shifts in response to the Lord. So let's hear now the word of the Lord from Habakkuk, the oracle. And I'll even, if you would allow me just another one, another phrase that is used there instead of the word oracle, and this is where I got the sermon title actually, is another translation for oracle could be burden. The burden that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. And so you can see that word burden in two ways, really. Initially, most of the time in English, we feel it as a weight that is upon us. And as we read through this, you'll realize that Habakkuk is feeling the weight of certain things right now. But this is actually encompassing this first phrase here in verse 1, the entire book. And so another way for burden to be translated or interpreted here is also, this is something that is weighing on me that I have to tell you because it's that important. And so he has it, if you see that interpreted in kind of a dual sense where it says the oracle or the burden that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Lord, how long shall I cry for help? You will not hear or cry to you violence. and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction, violence, they're before me. Strife, contention arise. So the law, it's paralyzed. Justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. The Lord replies, look among the nations, see, wonder, and be astonished. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe, even if told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men, whose own might is their God. Habakkuk replies again. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury, and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. The Lord again replies one more time. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he is never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples. May God bless to us this morning the reading and understanding of his holy word. The Lord has blessed my wife and I with a few grandkids. I have one grandson in particular that loves to organize things. He loves to be creative. And he likes to get on the playground, and if there's like six, seven different kids around. He wants to organize a game. And of course, when you organize a game has to have rules. And so he'll describe the rules and he'll try to get everybody to play on the same page and we're just going to have a good time. Until one of his brothers comes along. And his brother kind of sees rules as guidelines. You can follow them if you want, but you really don't have to. Especially if I just want to have fun. So for instance, if one of them names this that you tag over here, this is first base, and you have to go to first base, and you have to tag it. The other one will just kind of run along, and he'll just almost kind of just bypass it. Wait, you didn't touch first base! That's all right, and he'll just keep wandering around. And his brother will get frustrated. And if an older person is around, he'll go to complain. It's not fair. And those of you parents who go to the playground regularly, you've seen this. Even if it's as simple as Susie's going up the ladder, not going down the ladder. Or the slide. You go up the ladder, you go down the slide. We have a justice button somewhere hidden inside of us. And don't think you don't have it. When I used to do a lot of counseling, I'd have couples, and I had a little diagram that was given to us. It was actually very effective. It was very simple, but it talked about hidden issues. And it talked about how most of the time couples like to go along the surface and talk about miscellaneous issues. And these issues could be anything along the lines of money, relatives, career, raising children, communication. Yes, ladies, communication is a surface level. Don't get too upset, but we can talk about it later if you want. But they want to talk about all of these things, and it says, really, when they see people talking about a lot of those things, there's really some core issues at stake. What's core? Acceptance. Control. And wait for it. Fairness. Am I being treated fairly? Am I being treated rightly? And this is not just a Christian thing. This is kind of a thing that we're built in as human beings. If you don't think so, you haven't seen any news headlines this last week. Not trying to bring politics in here because I'm not going to get into the political part of it. But if you've not seen that there is an uproar over whether or not justice is being served in the state of New York, you've been hiding somewhere. Because people are up in arms on both sides of that coin. God is a just God. And we have this innate desire to see justice. And what happens when we see it fail? We see in these first four verses, Habakkuk's justice button has been pushed. And he's up to here. Now, ladies are studying a book called Good and Angry. It's a great book. And in there, it discusses the difference between good anger and bad anger. I'll let you decide as we go through this whether you think Habakkuk's justice button is good or bad. He's probably got a good point to many of the things. that he's complaining about. And in a sense, he's going to the right person. But he's frustrated. I've been calling, I've been praying, God. And guess what? You're silent. You see what I see, God, going on in society? Good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. How can you look at this and not know what's going on? Not only are you not listening to my prayers, you're not doing anything about it. The law is paralyzed. The wicked surround the righteous. You'd think Habakkuk's living in 2024 in the United States. But in summary, what he's actually accusing God is, you don't care. And that is very, very troubling to the prophet. And again, before we start saying, oh, Habakkuk, he's being a little bit too brusque with God, isn't he? How could he do this? Have you never felt that way before? Have you never prayed for healing only to see it not answered? Have you never prayed for justice and injustice continues? Have you never prayed for something you care deeply for only to lose it? Have you never prayed for a relationship to heal only to see it severed even greater? Have you never prayed for a job and it went to someone less qualified? Have you never prayed for somebody that you loved to come and know Christ? And they reject Jesus. It's hard. How are we supposed to respond when we see so much wrong in our world? Now, God does answer him, and in this passage, this first passage, 5 to 11, God also comes back pretty strongly at him. And it's a pretty basic message. Habakkuk, you're saying, I don't hear and I'm not doing anything? Hate to tell you this, but I am doing something. You may not like what you're going to hear, but I am doing something. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Habakkuk, I still am a God who is in control. I still rule. But I act sometimes in ways that aren't within your scope of understanding or perhaps even liking. Habakkuk's praying for his nation, Israel. And what is God informing him? You see those guys over here, the Chaldeans, they're probably not even a strong force at this time. The Assyrians were really probably the greater nation. But he's saying, if you were to see the future, if you were to know what I'm stirring, if you were to know and see actually what I'm accomplishing, you'd see I'm raising up the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans are going to be kind of a ruthless and violent people. And they are going to come and exact some judgment on, yes, Israel. Israel is supposed to be my witness. Israel is supposed to be my light. Israel is supposed to be my salt to all the other nations. And Habakkuk, you've already spelled out for me really what they've become. They are anything but salt. They are anything but light. They are anything but professing my great and holy name. And I am doing a work, for my purposes will be accomplished. It's a hard lesson that Habakkuk had to learn, that God's ways are not our ways, nor his thoughts our thoughts. Oh, if only I were in control, I would do it this way. Yeah, God says, good thing you're not, and good thing I am. God works and acts independently of our counsel. And we need to thank God for that. So that calms Habakkuk down a little bit. But Habakkuk is still having some issues. And we see this in his second complaint in verses 12 through 2:1. And you notice his tone is much different now. Instead of almost saying, God, I see violence and I don't like what I'm seeing, it's, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One. It's a little bit more humble person now coming before the Lord. And he's acknowledging God's character. You are holy. You are a rock. Your eyes are too pure to look upon wrong. So God, okay, I get it. You're in control. You're acting out and doing your sovereign will in the nations. How am I supposed to wrestle with this, understanding your character, but yet at the same time you're saying evil people, even more evil than what Israel's doing, are going to come and subdue and overrun us? And so there's this contrast with the Chaldeans being evil, traitors, punishing good people, with God being eternal, holy, and pure. And so actually Habakkuk has raised two significant questions. I'll combine a couple of them. The first one is, God, do you listen and care about what's going on? And the answer is yes. And the second is, God, I'm having trouble reconciling the evil I experience with the purity of your character. And this is where God replies, and we come to our famous phrase, the just shall live by faith. And God says, the Lord answered, write the vision, make it plain. For the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. I love that phrase right there. Don't you just love it when you get all worked up and self-righteous and you've got a good cause to argue about? And God, I'm bringing all of this to you. Okay, thanks. Be patient. What? No, I want to wrestle with this. Wait for it. It'll come. It reminds me also in Psalm 46, where we have all sorts of calamity happening through the first part of Psalm 46. And it's not until the latter part, verses 9 and 10 in Psalm 46, where it comes to us and it says, be still And actually, again, I think a better translation, New American Standard translates it, cease striving. You're working so hard. Wait. Be patient. Cease striving. And know that I am God. And I love this contrast that he gives us here in verse 4. Because the person who's receiving this message, it says, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. And I think that's almost more than a subtle message to Habakkuk. Habakkuk, I'm not saying you're not concerned to be aware of injustice and that it's not important. But be careful to get on your little pedestal, because there may be this fine line between seeking justice and being arrogant. Ouch. That hurts me. I don't know if it hurts you. And as much as that may seem appropriate, the righteous will live by their faith. This is not a platitude. This is not just a bumper sticker. Faith is not an abstract concept. It's practical in every day of our lives, in everything that we do. And too often in the Western church, we've treated faith as some sort of ticket to salvation. And don't go away saying, yes, we are saved by faith. But it's living and it's continual. It's not a ticket of fire insurance that we're no longer going to hell. As the Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live how? By faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Many, 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 many years ago, I was just getting into the military. And the military has this wonderful way of, you know, getting you up early and getting you out to do something early. So you've always got to exercise and do all of these things. And so it was really interesting when you'd get out at 6 o'clock in the morning or so, and you would have, you know, a couple of hundred people on like a big field, parade field or football field or something like that. And of course, you've got to start with your stretching exercises. And so one of the favorite stretching exercise that they would do would be the one-legged stretch. The one-legged stretch is just what it sounds like. You stand on one leg, you bring the other leg up, and you grab it, and then you stand there and stretch. Now, when you're standing on one leg, and it's early in the morning, it's fun to just almost kind of look around and how you see other people doing their one-legged stretch. Because you see people letting go of their hands so they can get their balance, but they try to touch real quickly so that nobody sees them, you know. So the NCO doesn't say, ah, come on. The other thing they do is they'll get on one leg and they'll start hopping around on one leg. And so instead of the one-legged stretch, it's the one-legged hop. And it is pretty comical. So I had an NCO. Nice being an officer, but always listen to your NCOs, correct? So an NCO came up to me, because they don't want the chaplains to be embarrassed. It doesn't make them look good. So he said, hey, chap, this is what you do, okay? When you get on that one leg, kind of flex your knee a little bit. Because if you get it too straight, you're like a pole, just ready to teeter. So you bend it just a little bit to actually give yourself a little control. And then he says, I want you to find an object. Doesn't have to be too far away. I want you to find that object and you stare at it. So I would flex my leg and I would stare at that object. And I could stay in that position all day long. It wasn't rocket science. Nor is faith. Sometimes we make it harder than it is. We have a king who rules and reigns in righteousness. He is just. He is holy. He is our rock and our shield. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Brothers and sisters, focus your eyes. You're going to experience disappointments in this life. You are going to experience injustice in this life. You are going to experience things that are going to just make you downright angry. Don't wobble. Don't do the one-legged hop. Don't question God. But there is one who reigns and rules, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes upon him and be saved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the prophet Habakkuk sometimes comes too close to home with our own emotions and reactions. But Lord, help us to learn this message that you have given to all of your saints throughout the generations to trust, to believe, to live by faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.